Alice Roberts, you have the academic affairs.
Yes, and what we plan to do, because there's so many items on the agenda, to have each one discussed and then vote on them all at once in order to save time. So the first agenda item, 7.1, approval of certificate and instructional design. Dr. Fuller.
This has been the case in recent board meetings. We've been looking at ways to refine some parts of our program to make areas of special interest to students available when we could do so without necessarily increasing cost. So all of the changes that you see before you today are without added staffing, save one. I have folks here who can speak to these in terms of their intent. The first one, as Ms. Roberts has said, is a certificate program in instructional design. The fact is that the college has been trying to mount a major for several years now, and we just have not had the capacity to staff it. So we do have capacity to staff the certificate. That will give us a chance to see what it does, and if it's as successful as we think, we will be coming back with a major at a subsequent time. Sherry Powers, you here? You want to make a comment on this particular program?
The only thing is there has been a lot of interest in it. A lot of individuals have contacted me. Program and came from my department, and of course, we have a lot of teacher educators, but also people from the business sector who expressed interest in the certificate program and eventually.
Okay, anything else on 7.1? 7.2, certificate of approval of certificate in aging studies.
This one, again, is a part of our Center for Gerontology and the College of Health and Human Services. Dean Munger, did you want to make a brief comment?
As the American population continues to age, we need to continue ways to train professionals to work with that population. This proposed certificate is being totally online delivered that way for individuals around the world, actually. We're working with older adults, and this complements what we're already doing in that area. It's moving it to a graduate level certificate, which we don't have that focus at this time. Provost mentioned it does not require any additional resources. It really will expand our visibility in the whole field of aging in Jersey.
Okay, anything else in 7.2? 7.3, approval of minor in meeting, convention, and exposition planning.
Yeah, this is also in Dean Munger's college. Basically, consumer family science is a very diverse department, and we have hospitality management programs there. I've had requests to provide this kind of support. And when I say we're doing it without any additional resources, that may sound like, well, you've got a lot more resources you're not using. And that just isn't true. But the fact is that we have assessed our capacity in terms of being able to accommodate students either in existing courses or in the case of online. We get through the Division of Extended Learning and Outreach support for developing those courses without having to take that out of base budget. So it sort of pays for itself. Diane, is this one anything to say about this one?
It's in our college. Doris is one.
Doris.
Doris,
okay.
Is your canary, but Doris.
Doris Secor is the department head.
This is an area that we have been looking at for a number of years because, as you know, in the hospitality industry, many organizations and businesses actually look at conventions for one of their revenue-growing efforts, and we are looking at the need and the request from those industries to have more training for our students that come out. So it's really looking at a need not only for the students but also for the Commonwealth.
Okay. Anything else in 7.3? 7.2, approval of certificate and nurse administrator. Dr. Birch.
Yes, ma'am. Dr. Conagher.
Thanks, Jordan.
Happy to stay.
This is actually, we already do this in our master's program, but we're adding a certificate. So it builds on existing courses and increases our efficiencies. By getting those who already have an MSN, will further their credentialing by getting a certificate. So it builds on a current track that we have within the MSM. We're trying to also market and target this to existing MSM nurses who would like to get the certificate. So it's not a large number, 3 to 5 students probably per year, but it builds on already where we have a base. So we're trying to make this attractive for those nurses to continue their professional education. So just as that, it makes sense to do.
Anything else in 7.4? 7.5, approval of minor in worksite health promotion.
This is an area, you know, the whole health promotion keeps on gaining attention. We have a number of our exercise science majors that go out and work in fitness facilities, but lack some of that health promotion and more generalized preparation. And this will enable a number of majors, not just exercise science, but perhaps hospitality, dietetics, those in other fields that are related. We really want to get a focus in that worksite health promotion. They may be coming out of business and totally other units on the campus. Again, all these courses are here in place. We have faculty are teaching the sequence of courses. It gives us a way to market, to increase efficiencies, and have another money that's available for our students to select.
Okay. Anything else in 7.5? 7.6, approval of major in business informatics.
This is not Dean Onagoras.
Okay.
If you like,
Anyway, we're very excited about this major in business informatics. And kind of the history of this, we traditionally had a major in CIS, Computer Information Systems, which was basically traditional MIS, Business Information Systems. We sort of morphed that into service our off-campus online community into a systems management degree, a +2 program. That kind of left college without a business information systems degree. So the business informatics, I'm excited, we're all excited about this because the emphasis is not as much automating or computerizing existing business processes like the CIS was based on. Business informatics is more based on how you use technology to improve decision processes and decision making. So it's a strong business degree, as well as a pretty good familiarity with business technology and business in general.
I want to add a comment, please, Madam Chair. I want to compliment the dean for flexibility and creativity in what brought this about. The CIS, I think the majors have existed. Dean Talon was kind of... It was on the decline because we clearly needed to change it. The way that it needed to be changed to meet the automation needs of those who needed it put it outside of what was a traditional business major and made it difficult for the college to offer it without an accreditation issue. So this is where our university college came into play. And we were able to offer that CIS online, and it is a very, very rapidly growing degree and well enrolled. But the College of Business did that to give up your major without having another one in place at the moment was a pretty risky operation. So it didn't decrease their utilization of faculty or enrollments, but it did give them time to develop one that was more current and relevant. So appreciate letting that happen.
Mm-hmm. Anything else on item 7.6? 7.7, approval of minor in electrical engineering.
Dr. Russell, are you here for planning?
Yes. Do you want to comment on that?
This is primarily for some of our engineering majors. It's not require minor. But this is a means for some of the engineering students to make themselves more well-rounded in other areas of engineering. Target audience would probably be mechanical engineering majors who want to... also prepare themselves a bit.
Okay. Thank you.
Is it practical or even possible for a student in a different major outside of engineering to pick up this minor in electrical engineering?
Yes. Very feasible.
Anything else on item 7.7? 7.6, approval of major in popular cultural studies.
Cultural studies. Well, this is a really exciting new major.
Did I say, well, I'm sorry, did I say the wrong? It's 7.8.
Okay. Let me be sure I got my number right, too, here. So it's the Office of Cultural Studies. It is intentionally interdisciplinary and created within the Park College. Larry Snyder, would you like to comment on it? Because it's kind of different from anything we've had. Mark Snyder is the associate dean for Potter College.
This brings together several departments within Potter College. We've got book studies and history and English, journalism. And the intent here is to study popular culture broadly, to bring various disciplines to bear on the culture, literary culture, and artistic culture, and see how it operates in the contemporary world across a variety of disciplines. And across a variety or across the spectrum. This is one of the more interesting and creative majors we've put together in a very long time. It goes very well with our intention within the college to promote interdisciplinary cooperation, interdisciplinary majors and programming. So this is really one of the stronger programs we've been presenting in quite some time. I'm very excited.
Anything else on 7.8? 7.9, approval of certificate in iMedia.
I'll ask Dr. Snyder to stand again, representing journalism. This is a response to the digital iMedia age. Larry?
The intent here is to give students who are currently majors within a very sub-discipline in journalism and broadcasting a certificate, which is a kind of stamp which indicates that they, while they may have majored in journalism or in digital production, have some familiarity, more familiarity with some other platforms. And when students leave here, they're going to need to have that kind of exposure and that kind of expertise across a variety of platforms. And this gives them that kind of certificate. It allows them to develop some sub-expertise when they leave here. And again, this is very much in the sense of what's required out in the marketplace and certainly consistent with what their journalism and programs do.
Anything else on item 7.9? 7.10, approval of major in international affairs.
I think Larry's going to present this also, and I believe Dr. Sandra Audrey, chair of the Department of Political Sciences, here. And this is particularly timely. As we talk about moving to be a leading American university with international reach, internationalization has been a strong commitment. The need for our students to leave with more perspectives than just what's happening right here locally. And this is an interdisciplinary initiative, again, in Potter. So, Larry?
I'll defer to Dr. Audrey here in just a second. One thing I want to point out is in the core of this program, we have courses that come from three different colleges. So the intent here is to be interdisciplinary, not just within Potter, but across the university. That's an important thing for us to do is we put our majors together, particularly as we're talking about international affairs. So with that, I'll defer to
What we're trying to do with this major is meet the demands that some of our students have requested of us to give them the tools that they would need to, I guess, have careers in the international arena. We also want to provide students with skills, all of our students with the skills they'll need to exist in a global community. So international affairs, like you said, has several disciplines that we will consider this.
Sandra, how was that bus trip to Washington a couple of weeks ago?
Thank you for the opportunity to get down on the mall and to meet with Senator Mitch McConnell and with Brett Duffy. So thank you very much. I took 56 students.
For the inauguration. Thank you.
Anything else on item 7.10? Okay, item 7.11, approval of minor in musical theater.
Again, I'll call on Larry. This is a direct response to students interested in musical theater performance. Larry?
Yeah, not much here except for what we have is an attempt to sort of put in place something that we've done rather informally. We have cooperation between the music department and the theater dance department. There, so, very strong performance base here. And this sort of puts in place a program for those students. And they will drop on courses for both of those departments. And that's a very useful skill.
Anything else in 7.11? 7.12, approval of Masters of Arts in Criminology.
This is the one program that does have a cost to it. It does require an additional faculty member, and that faculty member has already been budgeted and is in the budgeted in the department. This department has had courses in this field for a while, but we have never been able to mount a major. Most of this kind of work is done at EKU. And so we had to work collaboratively to ensure they would support our coming into this field, because we have had demand for this for years. So Larry, what else you might want to say?
You will note that this is primarily an Long Island program. We really do anticipate student interest across the state, probably across the country for this. And we're looking for this as an opportunity to grow enrollment at the level within the college. All the signs that this should be a good draw for us. We're very excited about this.
Anything else in 7.12? Well, I just like to say, I think all these programs sound very exciting, and I commend the faculty and the effort and the time that it took to put them together. I think there's some really exciting things. In fact, I think I want to sign up for the pop culture. Do I hear a motion to approve these? Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Oh, I have a question.
Oh, sure. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. It goes on all of these. There's no dates under before the university send approval or university curriculum on a lot of these.
That's because when we should have. They have been approved.
They have been approved.
They have been approved. Sometimes they get in there and the Senator University Council hasn't met. But these have all now been approved, I think. Yeah, Patty?
Yeah, I caught that, too, and I actually spoke with Dr. Beth Plummer, who chairs the University Curriculum Committee, and she was actually quite perturbed and, I believe, has been in contact with appropriate officials in academic affairs to make sure that nothing goes forward again without the correct dates. She said she spent an hour putting the correct dates in, and
yeah.
Was not happy that it did not
get in. I do not know why they didn't get in there, but we will take care of that. And I'm sorry about that.
Okay.
In the Department of Sociology, with the only budgetary implications, I know we're trying to keep our budgets tighter, and I'm excited about all these prospects, but I'm concerned. Was that in the budget for that was approved by this board back in the summertime, or is that budgeted for when it be brought from the Budget Council?
We do staffing hearings each fall.
Okay.
And basically, the position allocations that are made then come from a combination of sources. They come from retirements, and sometimes positions get moved from one department to another. People retire, and there may be money left in the line, and we put those together. But those allocations are made on the basis of where there's justification and growth. So this is money that's in the budget, in addition to which we have a modest amount of money that has not yet been allocated for new positions. So it. No.
And one other comment I wanted to make was that I think that you know, I sat on Faculty Senate for two terms as the student member, and it's hard the work that they put in to get these from step to step. So I commend, as you did, their hard work. But I am concerned, and I hope that that no programs will hurt or take away from the faculty's ability in each department, and obviously won't, but to help the current degree programs of students currently seeking degrees, because I know from sitting on the Student Advisory Committee to the Governor on college affordability, that's one of the major concerns, is not being able to complete a degree program due to lack of opportunity. So I hope that this board and in the future we look toward hopefully finding more faculty and being able to finish those degree programs that students are already enrolled in. But other than that, these all seem appropriate and timely and student-friendly. So.
Any other comments or questions? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Next item is 7.13, approval of honorary doctoral appointment to Mr. Linnell Harris.
I think you have a brief resume of Mr. Harris in your board book. Many of you have met him and heard him, and he has been for a long time a person acknowledged as brilliant in his field. He's been fond of and a part of Western, and he's certainly deserving of the honor. He has been part of our WKU Distinguished Hall of Fame. He's received numerous awards in his field, Grammys, Dove Awards, performed in many foreign countries all over the world for the president, and brought, I think, not only to himself acclaim, but also a great deal of pride that we have in his affiliation with Western. So I'm pleased to set this recommendation forth from the committee.
Again, you are all very much aware that this unfolded late in the fall in order to accommodate a performance here in Bowling Green, and Jim Johnson was directly involved in bringing this to my attention and part of that presentation in early December, and it was exceedingly well received in the community. Great feedback, Jim. I know you have received much as well, and you may have some thoughts in this regard.
I've got a lot of positive feedback. People are excited about it. I don't know. I was just totally caught by surprise. He had no idea this was going to happen, and that, and meeting with Larnell, you know, in the past, not that I know him real well, but this guy is a real booster of Western Kentucky University and very proud of our university. In fact, he made some real positive comments, not even knowing he was going to get this honor. And it was incredible. It was 2 years ago he performed here in Bowling Green at Christmas time, and it was the largest audience that they ever had for any one musical event, and certainly was, you know, packed house the second time he came back a year later, and he really values Bowling Green. He really values this university, and he represents this university well. And he also performs. He's performed internationally, so it's he helps us with our outreach. And I think you know, in the future, if we were to well, not like a lot of people, he commands a big dollar these days. But I'm thinking that perhaps there's a maybe a little quid pro quo here, back scratch, because as we have it'd be awesome to have him back, and I'm thinking perhaps that maybe he could play a role in that and some other things.
We would love to have him back, because we try to find some way to have our honorary doctorate honorary somehow connected with students and campus, so it would be wonderful if that could happen.
Okay, do I hear a motion to approve this item?
So moved.
Second. Any more discussion and comments?
Will there be a time that we can do a more public presentation? You know, like at a commencement exercise or something for him?
We did present it to him following that performance. But possibly we have not explored coming back at a commencement.
Any other discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, next item is 7.14, approval of faculty emeritus status for Dr. Dale Wicklander, Professor of Communication, and Dr. Charles Bussey, Professor of History.
Again, these are individuals who are worthy of emeritus status and who have served this institution long and well, and I'm very pleased to recommend both of them to you.
Just one note, in the facts, it says Gordon Ford College of Business, and then lists two departments within Pyre College. Does that need to be spiked?
I think it needs to be figured out. Thank you.
Okay. Can I hear a motion to approve Professor Emeritus status? Second. Any discussion? Questions? All in favor? Opposed? Okay. Is it a maritime? If it's, what is it?
It's a plural. It's a maritime plural.
Okay, emeritus. So I should have said a motion to accept these a maritime.
That's okay.
I just want to brushing up on that item. Okay, next item, approval of 120 hours as the minimum number of hours for a baccalaureate degree. Dr. Birch.
This is a significant change, but one that we are determined we can make without any negative consequences or any negative impact on academic quality, and most likely considerable benefit to students. I appointed a committee who worked on this and asked them to do an extensive review of whether what would be the implications of moving to 120 hours. There is a sort of state and national movement in this direction. Many of our sister institutions and the majority of our benchmark institutions are at 120 hours. When I look at it, a student here would take 16 hours a semester for 8 semesters in order to graduate in 4 years. Most of our students don't, the majority take 15. So this came under the movement of, would it reduce time to graduation? Could it improve graduation rates and reduce cost in general to students without compromising academic quality? The committee came back and determined, after looking at all of the different facets of it, as well as through the Council of Deans, that there was no reason for us not to move to 120. Now, what this does, it says the minimum is 120. Right now, our Southern Association Accrediting Body requires a minimum of 120. We have 128. This does not mean that we will be able to squeeze every degree program into 120. There are some that just won't fit. Professional requirements, accrediting requirements make it almost impossible. But the majority of our programs will already fit. And so the committee has recommended it. We've moved it through the system and are recommending to you that effective with the fall semester of 09, the minimum required hours for a degree would be 120, and that would mean that students graduating as early as December 09 would be eligible to come under that decision.
Okay, do I hear a motion to approve that question, please?
Sure.
Does that mean that there needs to be any clarification that it will be contingent upon the degree that they're being granted? Because does it need to be contingent upon the degree they're being granted?
The 128 minimum is just like 128 minimum now.
Okay.
The 128 is the minimum you could have to graduate, even if you required completed all the program requirements. If your program requires more than 120, you have to complete your program requirements.
I just want to make sure that they
can. What it would mean most in this regard is that if somebody had completed gen ed, major, or other requirements, and perhaps lacked an elective or something, they could choose not to take it and graduate early.
Thank you.
Okay.
Do I hear a motion to approve this?
I so moved.
Okay. Jim, you're second.
Second.
Okay. Any more discussion or questions? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, next item is approval of 60 hours as a minimum number of hours for an associate degree.
And this really is the counterpart to the baccalaureate. The KCTCS institutions are now at 60 hours, and we are the only other community college, only other institution with a community college. And so if we're going to go to 120 baccalaureate minimum, it makes sense to move to 60 minimum on the associate degree. And again, there would not be any consequences that we can't handle. We do have, and I want to be forthright on this, we do have some things we need to work out that are relative to other kinds of requirements. This will not prohibit us from implementing it. But we are likely internally to come back working through academic policy bodies, the Senate, and perhaps Administrative Council on some things that how many hours you have to have a WKU credit versus some other kind, how we treat transfer credit. There's some of the things that were tied to 128 have to now be looked at and see whether we adjust them. So we will be doing that during the spring semester.
Do I hear a motion to approve this?
Second.
Any more discussion or questions?
How many, I know all the institutions are moving in this direction. How many have taken
place? How many are there? First of all, let me tell you that Dr. McElroy in my office and Thea Edelton have done most of this work. We've specifically, University of Louisville and University of Kentucky have been at 120 for quite some time. Kentucky State and Northern moved to 120 this year. And Eastern, Morehead, we're having a hard time figuring. We think they're moving toward it. And Eastern's the only one still kind of studying it, but say they think they will. So it looks like if they don't, they may be the only one not doing it among the state institutions. Among our benchmark institutions, of which there are 31, 15 of them are at 120 hours right now, and only two of our 31 benchmarks have hours that exceed 126, and that's Rollins College and Elon. So two out of 31 have over 126, the majority are 120. So we are really pretty consistent with the marketplace, and we did not direct that any major had to pull itself in or redesign itself. We have encouraged departments to look at requirements, and we have a gen ed committee right now that is looking at gen ed revisions. So we are looking at that part of implementation, but it will not affect academic quality at any point.
Any other questions or discussions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. All right, Ms. Chairman, that concludes the academic affairs.
Thank you.
You have a report, Dr. Burton?
Madam Chair, I just have two comments. I thought you might be interested in where enrollment is today. Dr. Carr?
We did a report yesterday, so this is a comparison to the fourth day of classes last spring, and I'm pleased to say that our picture looks very, very good. Right now, our enrollment is 18,241 students compared to 17,525 at the same time last year, so that we're up 716 students right now. We still have a lot of counting and a lot of registration to go. We will, of course, drop some students for a variety of things. They just didn't show up in their class and what have you, but overall, that's a really positive report for our spring enrollment, and we're delighted with that. For the fall, our applications and admissions numbers are looking also very, very good. Right now, we're both in applications and admissions up 24% compared to the same time frame last year. Questions?
Good news.
Great news. Thank you.
I often ask Dean about the enrollment. And he has a standard answer. Don't worry. He's come through. There are a lot of people on campus, and I just want to make this comment, and Dean would reiterate this. While the admissions folks work like Trojans at this, I think the thing that has made a huge difference is what faculty and staff are doing as well. People are going to extraordinary lengths to try out to help students stay in school and be successful. Some departments have made literally hundreds of calls to students over the holidays to say, why are you not registered yet? We often identify students for where there's some problem. We can do something about it. I'm sure that Dean Bonney's office has contacts with students, and his folks are working with them, housing people. It is really a campus-wide effort, and a lot of people are believing in that notion of one student at a time and trying to do those things that make sure we can help students stay in school and be successful. So, compliments to Dean's staff, but he too would tell you that it's the whole campus that's part of making this happen. So, Ms. Roberts, I just have one more item. You have a winter term report on your, in front of you, and Dr. Spoder, did you want to say anything about this?
Winter term was completed last Friday. I think it's fairly explanatory. We can just barely say this is the fourth winter term, and we've increased enrollment every year, this year by five, but you'll see a slight decrease in undergraduate, a nice increase to make up that difference in graduate students. We started out, we had a longer, a month earlier registration time this year, which gave students a better chance to take a look at the courses offered. We continue to grow in terms of as the campus participation says, we continue to grow in both the numbers of courses and the numbers of faculty and the numbers of sections, and we're pleased about that. we believe that it's our current economy that resulted in the largest number of students being dropped for non-payment that we've ever had in four sessions. And we truly believe that is an economic consequence of where we are with the economy this year. We had some study abroad. We've had fewer study abroad than the year before, years before. But again, I think a consequence of the economy. One other thing I might mention is the fact that our online courses this year were just slightly over half of the enrollments there. So online is growing significantly. And it is a good time, both winter and summer terms, are good times for online students because they might be able to be at a different location that they would like to be while those breaks are happening, or in the summer in particular, jobs that they want to participate in as well as take a class or two. So I think it's pretty explanatory, but if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Our winter term has grown in 4 years to be one of the 10 winter terms recognized in the country, and we've gotten recognition for winter term. And while the Herald reported us as flat, my colleague Ed Mead has reminded me that we were actually up in our ability to generate revenue on the winter term that will go back into the academic program. So lots of good there, and I think the best part of it is that students are graduating earlier because of winter term offerings. So thank you, Ms. Roberts.
Now, I'll end it. Okay. All right.